Oh, I can't have
that. I love that. I'm just going to project.
What's up, guys? One of the biggest differences between the middle school and the high school class, well, middle school, like, you feel like you have a lot of energy. And so, like, on Sunday mornings, you're like, yeah, you're fun. Like, it's going to be great. High school, by the time you get to the high school class, as you guys know, I've had some of you, you're like, good morning. Nate, why are you talking to me? It's 9 o'clock. It's time. Then you go to college and you have coffee and all kinds of other caffeine. And you come to the college class, you're like, yes! Fired up. I'm going to participate and talk so much today. It's going to be great. Ruben, talk about you on Wednesday night. Did you hear?
Yeah, Evan told me.
Evan told you? What did Evan tell you? Let's hear if Evan's a liar.
He said that you told him you beat me in basketball.
I did, or I could, you or could. I would, or I should.
All three.
How do you feel about that?
And that you dunk him.
Yeah, I mean, we can run it up.
You're Chris Paul, and I'm Giannis. How you feel about that?
Well, I don't like either of them. So.
That's why I said you had to like me. Did I say you had to like me?
No.
Sorry. A little smack talk in the middle of the morning here. I like it. Let's start with a prayer. We're going to do a little bit of a review from Wednesday night because we've got some that weren't here on Wednesday night. And then Gary's going to take over. Who wants to say a prayer? Ruben.
I'll say it.
You the man.
All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for blessing us with another day that we can come together and worship you. As we go into this lesson, please help us to retain this information and apply it to our lives so we can spread your word to others. Thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. So what have we been talking about?
Foundations.
How many times have we said foundations? Like 5 or 6 times? Foundations. What's important about foundations? Quick, let's go through this quick. What's important about foundations?
What everything else is built upon.
It's what everything else is built upon. I told a story on Wednesday night. What was the story? Give me a quick summary. Yeah. What about it?
It's worth millions.
Millions.
And it was built, and even though it has an excellent foundation, it's still sinking through the hill.
It's still sinking through the hill. So even though it has all the right ingredients to have a firm foundation, it's still failing. So then we bridge that into what our foundation is. What's our foundation? We went about this in a little bit of a roundabout way. What's our foundation of our faith? What is it? The
gospel.
The what?
Gospel.
The gospel. What is the gospel?
The good news.
The good news. That's what the gospel means, right? Mm-hmm. The good news. What is the gospel just in general? What is it?
Jesus died for our sins and came back to life.
Perfect. Who is the perfect example of living the gospel? Jesus, because he's the one who pioneered the way, right? Who else, right after Jesus, helped live the gospel?
Paul. A lot of good examples.
The apostles. Were they all just alike?
No.
Did they all have, if you will, different testimonials?
Yes.
As far as how they lived their life and how they influenced others and how they spread the gospel? Very, very different. Very, very different. So does that mean that we can be different and do the same? What are some of your talents?
Still trying to figure that out.
Oh, you know what your talents are. You're in the workforce already being successful. What are some of your talents?
Define your definition of success.
What do you think?
I don't know.
It's all relative.
I'll tell you.
Jackson, what am I good at?
Yeah, we can grill a mean burger.
I can cook. That's what I'm good at.
You should ask your wife, bro. Jackson says what you're good at. What's he not good at? Is he a good communicator? Just narrow it down to like 2 or 3 things. You don't have to tell us all things. Put you on the spot.
Not school, not counseling.
Oh, it is.
He's a good communicator.
He is. That's what I would think. I said that on purpose because I think that's probably one of the strengths. Like when you did your talk the other night, I thought man, that's very impressive. Very impressive. Like, you're very organized with your thoughts, your ability to speak and understand, like, where you're going, and to be able to take everyone there in a very clear and concise manner is a talent. My boss is an excellent communicator. If you can get rid of some of the other things, like, it may take him 1 hour to say something, and it took me a long time to figure out how to get the rest out. And then once you can extract, like, that central message, it's usually pretty profound. And that's a talent, to be able to create a message where people have to listen well enough to get rid of everything else to understand it. That's a talent. Some people are very good at saying very little, but being very concise with what they're saying and very clear and getting that message across. So I think one of your talents, like from the other, is public speaking, teaching. And we have to recognize all, like, individually what our talents are, because it affects how we spread the gospel. How do we know what the gospel is? Like, if you're talking, we're talking about this on Wednesday night too. How many people know the gospel because it's what they've been taught from their parents and from their church growing up? It's not a wrong answer, not a right answer. How many people feel like you know the gospel because you've taken that, challenged yourself to think about it, maybe not so differently, but just to come to your own understanding? I did it. I hope you guys have done it. You need to do it. That's what this is about. That's what this class is about. It's about not just accepting what you've understood the gospel to be your whole life, because that's what you've been told, but by challenging yourself, challenging the people that you're around, your friends, and thinking about what it is and studying it together and coming up with the same solution, that this is why I believe what I believe. I told the story about me and Rachel, and we got cut off by the bell, but we talked about when she grew up in the Baptist church. And my mom grew up in the Baptist church, okay? Once again, at 24 years old, an easy conversation would have been like, hey, Dad, how did you convert mom? But remember, I'm 24. I don't need to talk to Dad about how to do something. I got it. So I went down this path by myself. But I didn't start that journey by saying, hey, Rach, hey, Baptist, COC. I'm right, you're wrong. How does that ever begin? How does that ever begin? Ruben shaking his head. You ever tried that?
No, but I know people that have.
How's it work out?
It doesn't.
It doesn't work out.
I like the metaphor of tying your shoes. I mean, if you've been tying your shoes the same way for, you know, 18, 24 years, mm-hmm. and you come to them and say, hey, you're tying your shoes wrong, they're looking at you like you're the idiot.
That's right.
You have to find the common ground.
That's right. And you aren't here either, but we're talking about doctors only.
Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah. So, sometimes one of the talents I learned early in my career is how to talk to doctors in a way that's resourceful. Not all physicians are the same, disclaimer. But in a way where no one else really understood what we were talking about, but I could provide some insight maybe from a different angle.
Cool.
Right? And so, a lot of that has to do with creating and communicating a message where someone's open to receive it. And a lot of times people will not receive a message if they feel like you're not open as well. So one of the first things I tried to do with Rage was we agreed to sit down and study together. And we used a book called Muscle and Shovel as our guide. And it's pretty black and white. Some things more than others, right? And I acknowledged that from the very beginning. So by acknowledging that, it helped give me some credibility with her to say, I'm going to do exactly what you're doing. Let's understand why we both believe what we believe. Let's say, this is what you've been taught. This is what I've been taught. Together, let's figure out what is right. I had to be willing to say, here are some concessions that I think were tradition. Fair. And there are some things that are not tradition because it's 100% scriptural and 100% clear. And she had to be willing to do the same. And here we are, okay? Here we are today, been members of the church. Rachel's been a member of the church. She got baptized. Lewis Cook baptized her over at Eastside. And it's amazing to truly watch how the gospel works. Especially for someone who's got an open heart and an open mind to the truth. Because I remember vividly the night that she looked at me and she's like, this is what I've been taught is a little off. And I said, yeah, maybe just a little. Once again, not the time to say, yeah, it is, told you. Nate for the win. Right? But to that point, there were a few things I had to kind of also say. Yeah, I get it. I get it. You got to be compassionate. You got to be willing to listen. And it's not just with your significant other. It's with anyone that you're teaching the gospel to. We talked about you know, some of the people that we went to church camp with, that I went to church camp with, that fell away, right? And the reason that they fell away is very simple. They didn't go through a period of time where they were willing to understand their gospel. Their gospel, not in as anything different than what we know the gospel to be, but their gospel as in how they are supposed to live what the gospel is. Does that make sense? Because it means why it's the same thing. Jesus wanted it to be the same thing. And its intent is for all those things that you mentioned. The way that each one of us live it as our foundation is a little bit different because we're different as individuals. So, we've talked about the ingredients. We've talked about how you can have the right ingredients. You can be told, you can be brought up in the church. You can be told exactly what you need to believe and why your entire life. And can you still fall away?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. In fact, you're probably more susceptible to fall away if you never have a period of time, which is now, to reflect on why you believe what you believe. What is our foundation? Let's fill it in. The gospel. Oh, wow. That's terrible. That's what Charles Barkley says. Terrible. Gospel. How does that affect others? How does your interpretation of what you believe in, if I tell you to believe something, if I tell Abby, this is what you have to believe, this is what you have to do, then once you kind of start leaving home and you start developing your own life as an individual, if I just told you what you're supposed to do and you don't know how you need to live it and you don't know your strengths, how does that affect you? How does that affect others? Question mark. What?
Poorly.
Right? Like Abby needs to know like what her strengths are. You got to know what your weaknesses are so that you can get better where you're weak. But you got to also kind of lean towards where you're strong. Because that's where your influence is going to be the most. How? This is a big one, and I want several answers. We talked about this too. Things in our life, whether it's our career, whether it's individual relationships, whether it's societal relationships, anything that's important to us requires what? What is it?
Effort, work.
If you put effort and work into something, what must it have? Like, what must you dedicate to it?
Focus, which is in the sentence.
Focus, all these things. I think I heard it.
Time.
I think, too, you have to really want or desire it as well. Because if it's something that you're not interested in, you're going to fall away from it. Just like any subject or material you're trying to learn, if you're not interested, it's not going to stick with you.
You're exactly right. And that's a perfect bridge to this, because it's not just time. Because if I give something time, That's fine. Like, remember I used the example, like, if I'm with Bear and I'm hanging out, but I'm on my phone, does that time really count?
Not really.
Not really. So we used the term on Wednesday night. Does anybody remember what it is? It's blank time. What was it? What was it?
Quality
time. You could say, quality versus quantity. But purposeful. My word, I can't write today. Purposeful time. Purposeful. Intent. You have to plan. Right? You don't, if you're trying to date somebody, you're not like, hey, I'll use a girl accessory. I used to do. I can't press Rachel. Hey, the least amount of time that we spend together here on the beginning of this thing, the better. Right? Well, maybe that's my approach because I'm like, she really gets to know me, then I'm really going to have to work my way out of this hole. Out of my league. Right? No, you want to spend time with them. You want to, you're like, hey, should I text her? I mean, we got that much yesterday. I mean, think she want to get dinner? Two meals in a day? Lunch? I don't know. Drop it off? Probably not either. She think I'm fat? I don't know. Three meals? One day? Right? You think about how much can I engage this person and still make a positive influence? Or make a positive, I guess, impact? Anything in life that you want to do. Like, we like golfing. Obviously, we talked about it a lot. We have to plan to go golf. Some of us are in different stages than others, right? In life. And so, like, a lot of times, like, Gary understands this. He'll text me, he'll go, hey, you want to go golfing? And I'm like, I've traveled a lot this week. Like, if I choose to go golf, no matter how much I want to go golf and how much I enjoy spending time with them, I've got to think of the opportunity cost, and that's lost time with my kids. Especially if I know, like, that next week, I'm going to be traveling more again. We decide, and you make decisions every single day, where you spend your purposeful time. I read an article the other day where it talks about being happy. Being happy. For someone, and this in regards to your children, your kids pick up instinctively on whether or not you're happy. Even at the young, like 2.5, 2 years, like they know, you can work 60 hours a week. And in that hour that you see them, if you're happy because you like what you're doing, that hour that you're with them, they pick up on and they understand that you're happy. And that hour could mean more to them than if you spend 2 hours with them every single night and you're absolutely miserable when you're with them. Now, granted, don't misunderstand me. I'm not endorsing that 1 hour is enough or that should suffice. The point of this is quality is so important. Maybe not more important than quantity, but it needs to go hand in hand, right? And this study showed that. Like, your kids want to see you happy, and they pick up on that. So, like, when you choose a career, do something that makes you happy, something that gives you balance. All right? So, how do we maintain our focus on it? What's the answer?
Everything you just said.
Everything we just said is the right answer. So we just got here and watch this. Who knows what really all that says, and there's probably several misspelled words because I didn't take time to think about it. But we'll just go right there. How can some change it? I believe our lesson, actually the verbiage is, how can the gospel, I'm going to write this correctly. How can the gospel be perverted? How can it be changed? How can it be altered in a negative way?
Poor understanding of it.
Because we're talking about how we as individuals need to better understand it so that we know what our foundation is consisted of. We looked at Mark 16:16. We looked at 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. We looked at Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. We read all this. Let me finish this off before. We read all those to understand how important it is for us to understand what the gospel is. What must we be cautious of when doing that?
Well, you used a scripture when I was teaching last time, 2 Timothy 3:14-17, and it, right there in verse 16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And we have to believe that, but we have to use it correctly.
Yes, sir.
Not only in my life, but if I'm going to talk to Evan about his life, I've got to use that gospel correctly then too.
That's right. If I didn't know, like that situation could have been with Rachel, turn really quick, right? Like if I didn't kind of have an understanding of the parameters, of the bumper guards, if you will, of where that conversation needed to go, could I find myself in a difficult situation? Yeah, I could. But I knew the scriptures well enough to understand where we were going, right? And it's important, so it goes back once again to those friends that I lost from church camp that lost sight of the way that they needed to be living their life because they lost track of this. They let what they had been told all their life be just that. What they told all their life. They never accepted it for a deeper meaning of what it needed to be. And so then all of a sudden they're living their life and they get a few challenges. They get put in a few difficult situations, and then they don't have the ingredients in their foundation to counter what they believe in.
Well, you mentioned 2 Timothy. Gary mentioned 2 Timothy 3. That's a powerful passage of Scripture because it tells us everything in Scripture originates with God. And then the second passage I think is important to this discussion is 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. It says, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. If you want to know how to be happy in life, study this book. It will tell us everything we need to know to please God and to give our lives the kind of balance in our relationships, in our marriages, in our relationship with our children, with our employers, all of those things. It tells us this is how to do it right. It's all right, though.
For me, this is the Bible. As I've gotten older, you figure out ways. The Bible is, its relevance is the most that you can even comprehend, right? You've got people in church that are super successful, and they're like, let me tell you about this motivational book. And that's fantastic. Listen to the audiobooks. Listen to the things that help you gain different perspectives. But let me tell you one of the best motivational books in the world. It's the Bible. And then if you want to dive any deeper, talk about Job, talk about Psalms, talk about Proverbs, talk about James. Read those. See if you're not challenged about how you think of things day to day, about motivation, wisdom. How do you navigate through tough times, through trials, through tribulations, through difficult relationships with both your friends, with your spouse? Right? There's the answer is there. It's in all of those books. And then to segue to what Gary's going to talk about today. There's so many times in life where people look for answers. And how many times have you all heard somebody say, man, I'm struggling with this. I can't figure out what to do. Everybody? I mean, at some point yourself, or maybe like, what about this career change? Or like, what about my major? Like, goes back to like my strengths and weaknesses. How do I handle this situation? Well, guess what? If you can find a situation where you can't find that answer in the Bible, please tell me, because it will be the first.
There's not going to be anything.
You're not going to find it.
So
you're not going to find it.
One thing I want to add, though, from the scientific standpoint, a lot of people use the Bible as like a book of morals, and I like thinking of it that way, but the other way of looking at it is science within itself is not anything we're inventing a new concept. We're describing a physical thing that already exists from the beginning of time through creation. If you look at the Bible, there's so many things there that show me that this is foreknowledge given by somebody that understands, like a creator of everything. Just for instance, you know, the Bible written over approximately 1,300 years before the authors of perfect continuity. That's extremely hard to do, because if you have people just writing different textbooks, you know, or writing different chapters in the same textbook, there's issues with conflicts. You know, you talk about in the book of Isaiah, you know, before Pythagoras actually described the earth as being spherical. You know, Isaiah tells us the earth was spherical. That's 600 years before he actually came up with the concept of it. I mean, that's inspirational. You think about in the book of Genesis in chapter 1, where it talks about how the herb of the field would be our meat. And now we look with the ACC, the American College of Cardiology, that the vegan diet is the only one that has mortality benefit. So it's like in the very beginning, before we were, you know, even, you know, the way our physiology and everything is set up, you know, we weren't supposed to eat the animals of the ground. That's the reason why the book of Leviticus came in and told us which animal we could eat, which animal we couldn't eat. And even the unclean animals are the ones that's even worse for you. You know, cardiovascular-wise, you live a shorter period of time if you're eating the unclean type of animals. So, I mean, all that stuff is really interesting. It's described in the Bible way before we went back and looked at it and said, hey, this is how it's physiologically affecting us. So I think the Bible in itself, there's a lot of truth through it, not just morality, but I think scientifically looking at it, you can use science to prove that this is actually a pretty good book.
Absolutely. It is a breathing and life, alive, what I refer to, it's an incredible and alive book that we have right in front of us, and that we've studied our entire lives. And so I go back to the situations that we're talking about, right? We're talking about as individual situations that you find yourself in, and being able to navigate through that and understand like how you go to the scriptures, understanding what your gospel is, or what the gospel is to you, right? According to the gospel. And, you know, think about the church. We talk about how there's no situation that you're not going to find an answer to. Think about the church. It's, you know, I'm sure Dave can tell you, you know, being an elder of the church, you hear and see about everything. Right? The flock has a lot of needs, both that you probably anticipate and that you don't. And it's their job to be grounded in their faith and in the gospel well enough as leaders of our local congregation to go into the scriptures and find the answers and find ways to navigate through situations. So, with that.
Question. I want to ask this question. Have any of you ever had this thought? The Bible is just an old, outdated mom and dad book. You ever had that thought? Because I can tell you, somewhere right before your all's age, that was me. And I quit reading, I quit studying. Yep, I'm still going to Bible class. And I didn't have a class quite like this where somebody's challenging or we can talk about it. It was more read questions, give the answer. I could do all that. I could. But at some point, I remember waking up and thinking, man, I've got career changes, classes, girls, parent troubles, brother troubles, you name it. Where am I going to get answers to all these questions? And there wasn't another book out there for that.
Interesting call, too. So King David, one of the most prolific characters in the Old Testament. What year did we actually finally discover evidence of his existence in the real world? Has anybody ever thought about that? Because we read about him in the Old Testament, but do we have physical evidence to back that up? It wasn't until 1993 is when we found the first evidence that King David actually existed. So, I mean, you have to have faith, you know, as the seven things, so forth, the evidence of things, you know, unseen. But, you know, the things are real. And that's what I love. You know, when you have something, you have so much faith, and you find something like that, it just reaffirms what's written here. It's so cool.
That's and Dad always, I'm sure David's heard this, Dad always takes real, I don't know if offense is the correct term, but like whenever we refer to the people of the Bible as characters, because whenever you say character, it almost in
fiction.
It's like it's fictional, and that's far from true. These are like real people who lived in real world scenarios. And so for us to refer to them as characters, you get the point. You don't want to get caught up on little things, but at the same time, kind of understand, right? Like, I don't refer to Reuben as a character, right?
I was just going to say one other thing. You know, when we talk about belief, that Jesus is, or believing what's in this book, what does that really mean? What does that mean? I mean, when you say, okay, how can you describe it? And I think that all boils down to this. I trust it. I trust it. And some, or everybody may have heard this analogy before, but the old story about a guy who's a tightrope walker at the turn of the century, the 20th century. And his deal was he would push a wheelbarrow while he across the line that he's walking on. And so he's going to Niagara, and the day is set that he's going to do it, and there's a huge crowd there to watch him. And so he says, do you believe I can do it? And they all scream, yes, yes. And he says, do you think I can do it? And they say, yes, yes. And so he looks at this 10-year-old kid and says, do you believe I can do it? And the kid says, yes, yes. And he said, get in my wheelbarrow. Faith is getting in the Lord's wheelbarrow. Wherever he pushes us, it may look dangerous, it may look like it can't happen. But that's what trust is. And trust in Jesus essentially is this. Boil it all down to this. It is saying, I'm going to obey you and trust that you're going to give me what you promised. That's what faith is all about. And so, even when this book tells us something, we may think, boy, that's counterintuitive. That doesn't make any sense to me. Trust it.
That's exactly right.
And
that's the perfect story for the perfect summary before Gary starts. And that's what we're talking about in this class, is being that little kid, being like, yeah, I'll get in your wheelbarrow, and then never moving. Yeah, I believe that you can push that thing. Yeah, sure, I'll get in your wheelbarrow. And then you don't do it. And then all of a sudden, you face the world's challenges as you enter these next chapters, and you're not in the wheelbarrow. Because you said that you believe something, but action speaks louder than words. And you didn't move. You didn't get in. We've got to get in the wheelbarrow. You have to show action. And you got to trust and believe in what you say. And then why?
You know, when we were three, how many of you trusted your mom and dad?
Three.
We all do, don't we?
You said three.
Three. Yeah, when you're three, Bob Bear's headed there. So he'll trust you next year. We all do, don't we? Right? You go through some teenage years and you see mom and dad disappoint you in something, your faith in them might be questioned just a little bit. Let me tell you about later down in life, particularly if your mom and dad are Christians. There's going to come a time in your life, late in your life, when you're my age, you'll look back and say, wow, mom and dad, you know, they might have made some mistakes here on earth. But mom and dad were, our faith came back around in them. Why? Not because of them, they're human. Because they put their faith in a gospel that is not going to disappoint. And I can remember my dad talking to me, and when I went through the age, even up to the age of you guys, and me thinking, dude, you don't even understand the world I live in. You're old-fashioned. You grew up on the farm. You can't possibly understand why Nate has 55 meetings this week and he's worried about getting together with his kids. You know what? My dad did understand those things. Not because he understands Nate's world, because he understands those foundational things. He put his faith in this. I can still remember my dad when he worked an 80-hour work week. Matt and I were just talking about his week last week. It's insane. I can't even imagine having a week like he had. But I can still remember coming in, my dad worked an 80-hour work week every week. And you know what he was doing? But right before he went to bed, he had his big print Bible out, reading. Nope, not watching TV. No, reading. And then we generally talked about what he was reading. That was the quality, not just the quantity. He was getting his quantity in it. But somewhere along the way, my dad, who was old-fashioned, didn't know anything about our modern life. Boy, he gleaned out the important part. And when he died, that guy died with a smile on his face because he knew his ending. The game's already won. All we got to do is be on the right team, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Sorry.
No, that's all yours now.
Got on a run there.
No, that's perfect. Segue into your own segue.
Okay. Too much serious stuff. We're going to have some fun.
You said no snacks.
No snacks?
Oh. No snacks. Okay. No snacks.
Can we have coffee?
Sure.
Is there a kosher coffee for?
Kosher coffee.
Hey, what's your password? I tried I love Nate. Nate rules, that didn't work.
Yeah, something like that.
I love Amy. No, that
I think it's just Gary with two R's.
That is not a good password.
It's got to be something I'm going to remember, right?
It worked.
When the...
Fantastic.
When I played...
Where do you bank?
Yeah. And what's my account password for that?
You just already know it.
Okay. Serious talk here. Which one of these things work good? The black one?
Is what he was using?
Yeah, the black one. The blue one was poor. Misspelled words.
Yeah, we've had enough serious stuff. Let's talk about some fun. Do y'all like games?
Yes.
I love games. And I grew up with a twin brother. He was just as competitive as I was. Man, we made a game out of everything. And at the end of the day, you know, it was like, if I got the best of you today, let's talk about games. And I can already tell you, Nate, we're not going to get to any of that stuff, so okay. We don't have enough time left. All right, I already heard this. I know that Ruben likes basketball. I'm trying to write this where we can actually read it, Nate. I also heard this. I know that Nate likes golf. What other kind of games y'all like? Now they're talking kind of athletic stuff right now. What else? Anybody here like tennis? Mm-hmm. Dude, there was a time I loved tennis.
Has anybody started playing pickleball yet?
Oh, that was Nate.
Wait, this is for real. You know all the college kids at Eastside are playing pickleball? Y'all, I'm being serious. So y'all got to figure it out because
pretty weird too.
I'm going. Are you really?
No, so they're pretty weird too.
No, y'all got to get better at pickleball than Eastside.
Well, it's rolling out there.
I'm just saying.
Hurling.
What's that?
Hurling, the national sport of Ireland.
Hurling.
Hurling.
Hurling. I've hurled a time or two.
Check it out.
That workout's so good for me.
It's like lacrosse except with its flat. Sticks instead of like the curve, like bucket where you can catch it.
Oh yeah, I've seen that. Mm-hmm. What is that in Florida? They call that where you highlight or something like that, where you throw the thing. And,
yeah.
No, let's stay with your neat stuff.
We threw out.
By the way,
board games.
If we could, Nate and I would probably organize you guys into teams and we play East Side and I don't think we would be coaches that would push you too. We would. Because we're competitive. We play golf, and sometimes it comes down to the last hole. We're not even speaking to each other if it's real close.
I'll text Amy. I'll be like, call Gary and tell him that something happened, like a pipe burst.
I'll tell you all this story. One time I was playing golf. Yep. You know my story's going to be about golf, right? Because I'm too old to play anything else now. Except, Ruben, I'd post you up in a heartbeat.
Everybody posts Ruben up.
Can I tell you about the first time I ever played basketball with him? Okay, think about this. He stands up and he holds his elbows out. Where's his elbow going to hit me? Right here. I am playing. We're in the Parks and Rec League downtown. But it is deadly serious. Nate's in the post. Well, I'm a guard. Well, they dump the ball down to Nate. I turn around to double up. all I got was about six times. Don't think he's not competitive when he's down there. And then I think I heard him say, sorry, bro, I did that in a Christian way.
I was like, man, that's my bad, but you were in my way. Christian love is what I said.
Y'all are too young to remember this guy. Anybody in here ever know Clarence Martin? Anybody other than me? Clarence Martin was a beast of a man. 6'9", 6'10". I don't even know. There wasn't an ounce of fat on that guy. He played ball at Western, then he played professionally overseas. Well, when he retired and moved back here, I talked him into playing with us in the Parks and Rec League. Yeah, he ain't nobody gonna beat us. I'm competitive when it comes to games. But Clarence, you know, once you play collegiately and pro level, you're just having fun. Until one night somebody tried to hurt him. Clarence grabbed a rebound like I've never seen a rebound in my life. And he turned to the ref and said, Tana. And you could see the sparks fly. So we go over to the side and he's like, get in here. And he said, look, we're all members of the church. Team we're playing is all members of the church. I'm fixing to hurt somebody because they're trying to hurt me. And he said, y'all better not say another word about it. He took this guy out.
Do you know who that guy was?
Oh, I do.
Is this a different guy than the person I'm thinking of? Because you know the person that I'm thinking of goes here.
No, Deacon at Lost River right now.
He caught Dad with an elbow.
No, not like
how
this.
How awesome would that have been?
No, not like this. Broke his nose in three places. Sent him to the hospital.
I don't want that. He got stitches, though.
Yeah, it was bad. Okay, anyway, we'll get back to that. We're going back.
It was in Christian love.
After the game. Oh, by the way, when he put him down, you know who picked that guy up? Clarence did.
Mm-hmm. With one arm.
I said that at Clarence's funeral. Clarence died. He had a massive heart attack in the early 40s. And I said that at his funeral. I told that story. This is the kind of person Clarence was. He stood up for what was right. He was competitive. He believed in it. And he had just that much faith in the gospel. That's a series we're going to get. We're going to have some fun with this. What are the kind of games y'all like?
Frisbee.
I love Frisbee. We're going to leave that one out. You'll see why in just a minute. Anybody like football? Old Alabama over here.
College football specifically.
Yeah, college football, right?
That's where they actually still care about the game.
Yeah, I know. So we'll denote.
That is one.
Anybody in here a baseball fan? Talk to John Whitaker. All you're going to talk about is who is Atlanta?
Atlanta Braves.
Okay. He mentioned something a while ago. When I was a kid, our favorite board game was something called Monopoly. You better play Monopoly. Y'all still play Monopoly?
Yeah. Yes.
Is it like digital now or?
No, it's just theme now.
Okay. Yeah, there's not every kind of theme of Monopoly. But I'm the old shoe and the hat and the dog.
Yeah, I'm the shoe.
So what was your piece?
The shoe.
The shoe?
Yeah, every time.
If I can get the top hat, I didn't play.
I like the race car.
I like the race car. Yeah.
I like
the race car too. The one friend that we played Monopoly with a lot, he took out his favorite piece and his set didn't have that piece. Why? Because we like the same piece. So I didn't play with him. What other games y'all play? You ever play Battleship? Come on, I'm showing my age here, right?
Trivial Pursuit.
Catan.
Uno.
You sank my Battleship. Do you?
Uno.
Catan.
Uno. Somebody said Uno. I can't believe you said that because that was actually on my list. I don't remember much about that game. But I remember when I was a kid, I loved playing Uno.
Sorry?
Sorry? Oh, I hate that game. Why?
Did you say it?
Because.
Catan. Is that Q-A-T-A-N?
C-A-T-A-N.
Spell that here.
What is it?
C-A-T-A-N. It's a bit popular in board games.
Okay.
Today. So
does the fact that I've never heard of that tell me anything about me?
No, it's a game that, you know, you build sort of a
I'll take your word on
village and towns and whatnot, trade resources.
Oh, kinda like
it's kinda like Ticket to Ride.
Yeah, okay. You know why I hate that game?
Because everybody, when they say sorry, they do it in the most aggravated, annoying way.
They do. They absolutely do.